The Lunchtime Social Debate brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
So here we are then. We've got Lady Rose in. See, I'm still struggling with Lady Rose,
yeah,
but there you go.
Yeah, we're giving that one.
Lady Rose is it is for the time being. And we've also got Hair Bear.
Stop dragging people off the streets.
Yeah, just not just anybody off the street, but Hair Bear.
Well, you've got a rose and a thorn then, haven't you?
Two thorns?
So it is Jonathan Bacon, our current council leader. How are you?
Not too bad.
Well, you look all right.
Oh, thank you.
You don't look stressed like you normally do.
It's been a fairly reasonable morning this morning, so...
Until now. Actually, because it's the afternoon.
I'm starting to get a slight shake, yes.
Oh, you'll be fine. We were talking about it yesterday. I don't know if your ears were burning, but I think how great it is that, you know, our council leader, Man of the Peeps, decides to go up to London to protest about the austerity measures, but not only that, have to spend the whole day with Jeff Lumley. Handshakes all round. Yeah, absolutely.
I can tell you the story about that. I didn't spend all day with him because I was invited to go on the coach. I think there were two coaches going up from Southampton and Portsmouth. I get phenomenally coach sick. So right. I said, I'm going on the train. Got my ticket a few days before. And it's just as well I did, because both coaches got stuck en route. So I was waiting for them for 2 hours before the procession set off. And eventually off it went, so I joined on the back. And they got there about 20 minutes after it had set off, and they were running down this road to catch up with it. But they made it, and they made a good showing. So and unfortunately we bumped up to met up in Trafalgar Square. Yeah, so we met up where the big rally was at the end. So not that I wouldn't have liked to have spent all day with Sheriff Woody, but
Sheriff Woody.
Did you not see that one?
I did. Yeah.
Nothing.
But no, it was a very interesting event, a good event, and I think the thing that impressed me most was just the breadth of people and organisations that were there. It wasn't just the I'm sure what a number of people be saying on the blogs and so on, it was all the usual suspects, but it wasn't. It was the junior doctors, it was teachers, professionals. There were a lot of different people from every background you could possibly imagine there, and I've heard the numbers possibly up to 150,000.
Yeah, that's what we saw.
And it was just so good natured.
So come and explain to me exactly what were you doing up there?
I was joining the march because I think it ties in very much with Fight for the White. We're in a situation where the government is, I've said this so many times I almost bore myself, but we still need to keep saying it. The government is restricting the funding to our local authority so much that it is going to stop us being able to operate. And the key things that worries me about are those key services that perhaps aren't so readily appreciated, particularly for vulnerable adults and children, that we provide, that we have a duty to provide, and they are at risk in the current funding climate. And so that's, I think, something that we do need to shout about in all reasonable ways.
Because I saw it on the County Press website, and I was talking to my husband this morning. I said, well, what shall I bring up? And I said, I'm going to stay off that, because I don't know enough, and I'm a person that I have to know more before I can start to have a good conversation, mainly because I have two older sisters who I do not get into conversations about politics and religion, because they'll have me down there, you know, down on the ground. So I need to be explained more. Like you're saying, it was cuts and everything else.
I think there were a lot of different perspectives at the march, and a lot of just what you'd expect, that Cameron out, get rid of the Tories and so on. I wasn't carrying a banner like that. And it is a Conservative government that is doing these things, but it is the government that we're worried about. Mm. We get a significant proportion of our funding as the Isle of Wight Council from government, whether it's red or blue or whatever colour, and we're not self-sufficient. We never have been and never could be with the economy and the demographic we have here. So we are reliant on the government to prop us up, essentially. I could probably phrase that better. And the fact is, the way things are going, that's not going to happen. We're looking at not being able to produce a balanced budget in a few months' time, come next February, and that has got to be the concern. So, as I say, whoever is in government, we need a fair funding settlement. And we have got promises of visits and recognition. The phrase that's been used by David Cameron and the Secretary of State, Greg Clark, is "you have unique costs." It's great recognising that, but can we actually turn that into some money? Can you actually, we actually identify what those unique costs are for the island, and can we have a funding settlement that recognises that, which we simply have not had in the past, and that's why we're driven to the situation we're in at the moment.
Do you feel we're vastly different from the councils on the mainland?
Well, we've got a very fundamental difference that we're an island.
Right, yes.
And that does create very different markets for things like adult social care, because you can't readily just say, oh, well, no, we won't go for those, that residential care, we'll just go over to that other authority and try out some of the social, the residential care there. That there is a form of closed market on the island for something like that, but there are just additional costs from being an island. And it does seem to affect economies. There's a statistic, I'm sorry, I can't remember where it comes from off the top of my head, but island economies across Europe perform at about 20% less than mainland economies.
Right.
And obviously that affects your ability to get business regeneration, get businesses up and running, keep businesses going. If you've got that automatic almost hurdle to cross, then it does affect your economy, and that just rebounds on everything that happens on the island.
Because I take it that last year with the ferries, they had a subsidy which was able to make the ferries cost a bit lower. Was it on the fuel or something? This is what I don't know enough, but terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something like that, but fundamentally we have a very different situation to say somewhere like the Scottish Islands, where you have a regulated system of ferries. There has to be ferries running to certain locations at certain times, otherwise there's some of those outlying islands that would never get a ferry service.
Right.
There are some that you see a ferry every 3 days or something, even so. I mean, we're going off into another debate now, and it's core of what we're talking about now.
Obviously, it's put strain on some of the council for some of the resources.
Well, I think you'd say that a lot of people would say the fact that connections with the mainland are dependent on ferries does put a strain on the economy, and there are many, obviously, different suggestions as to how you manage that. And one argument we've had as the council that's been rejected by the government consistently is to have a regulated ferry service. That might involve some subsidy to them, but that's really to ensure there's a regularity of crossing and an affordability of crossing for residents. Mm. In the same way that if you live on one of the outlying Scottish islands, you get free travel or even a free flight from, say, Barrow to Glasgow if you need to go to the hospital, because there aren't any hospitals up there. So it's a variation on that. I suppose it's just an example of there being a difference to being on an island that does have an impact, and that impact then feeds through into many aspects of society and indeed what a council does, to mean that if you try and fund the council in the same way as a council in Surrey, in Gloucestershire, or whatever, it's not a fair comparison. It's not the right basis to fund it on, and that's what we're, I think, stuck with at the moment and need to change.
The lovely thing about all of this, Jonathan, though, is that when people are now thinking, well, who's fighting for us? Who's fighting in our corner? And, you know, it's lovely to see you open up, you know, anywhere locally on a website now, and there's a picture of you, there's a picture of Jeff, there's a few other people as well. You've taken the time, the trouble to march to London with the message. You're now, you know, sorting out meetings and so on and so forth. It just gives me a bit of a buzz, actually, because you know that there are people out there, like yourself, that are looking after our interests, and they are fighting our corner, because for a while it didn't feel like that. And you know, those people that haven't got involved yet, you can still get involved. Yeah, you don't have to go out and march to London, but you can sign a petition.
Yeah, and the more people that sign, sorry to talk over you, the more
it's
people,
right, you're the leader of the council. Wait till next
I
year.
Talked about, I talked over him as I'm not going to get some eczema.
Yeah,
the more people that sign that petition, the better, because that's something. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. It's a 6 month project, but
we are talking fight for what the
we're
white.
Talking fight for the white. Yes, not fight the white, as some people mistakenly say sometimes. I've fallen into that trap myself, but fight for the white. We're going to get a ministerial visit. I hope that's going to be in the next month. And we want to be able to show the level of concern, I think that's probably a better word than support, for the situation the island that is in. And that will be part of our case. It's not just a few councillors saying we can't make things work. It's the public realising that things can't work or can't work as they'd like them to, and realising why that is the case, and making the effort. It's an effort, but it's an important effort to sign that petition and state a view to say we think something needs to change.
Is it all on the internet, or...?
Hard copies are around as well. I couldn't tell you where they are. We might be doing some at Walk the White, actually.
Are you walking this year?
I've signed up.
Well done.
If I feel like it on the morning, I'll be there.
Maybe we should make it... I know it depends if
I have a hard week before.
Well, you're bound to have an hard week, aren't you? But I think maybe we've not missed the boat, because I say it's a walking event, and it's a lovely event, and it's a nice event, but I'm just thinking maybe this year they could have made it slightly different and said, right, okay, do you know what? This year's a protest walk. You know, we're all protesting, we're walking across the... But it might be a bit tricky, might be, you know, because of what the Elmet and Betton Hospice is and so on and so forth. But
no, I don't think you want to spoil that, because the hospice is important, and the hospice needs that money and relies on that event as an important part of its calendar.
I think it's a good idea what you said, is maybe having someone there, not going forward, but being able for people to come forward sign. That's
I think we need to get the carry on getting the message out there and getting the ability to sign that petition out there, and that's a possibility we're looking at. And yeah, I fully intend, I was being a bit flippant, but I fully intend to do the Walk the White as much of it as I can manage. I did it, I think, was it 2 years ago? I tried to do it and got nearly blown off the cliff in fresh water, so didn't do the last couple of miles because I was more water than person by that point.
Are you sure it wasn't something like David Pugh, one of them air machines just blowing you off?
Well, he was being very indiscriminate if it was, because he got the whole family and the people next to us as well.
Fine.
So you've got a lovely badge there.
Mm.
And I think
that works well on radio.
Yeah, it does.
Look at my badge.
No, we filmed it. It's all right.
It'll be on there.
I'm making a film, Jonathan. You're in it now. Okay, we're making a Vectis Radio film as we speak. The bits
of
whatever.
He didn't ask your permission,
did
he?
No, I haven't signed my release form.
No, he
asked mine.
You don't need to. You're like public property, aren't you?
Oh, thanks. That's how well that gets treated.
Yeah.
So the sun's shining, will you be wearing shorts?
I think it'd probably be a day for wearing shorts.
Let's be honest. I've got to be honest. If you see Jonathan Bacon walking the white, you will know that it's Jonathan. That's all I will say.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan's very colourful. Very colourful in his clothing. All right, at the moment he's pretty. I mean, you notice he's pretty. He's pretty cool at the moment. He's got a suit on.
Yeah.
He's got this. He's got
nice
this tie.
Tie.
But you notice that he's got a snazzy tie, and he's got a handkerchief to match the tie.
Where?
Well, I saw it earlier on when he was when he was having a blow. And as I say, whenever you see Jonathan out and about, not in council clothing, it's always bright and colour coordinated.
You were part of a circus workshop then.
Well, funny you should say that.
That's another story. I'm not going there today.
Okay, so that's going on at the moment. There must be something that's keeping you awake at night at the moment, isn't there? Apart from this,
I think that's what we've been talking about. It's just taking over everything, because the fact that we're cut back, as I think I said a few months ago, we've got past the bone, we're in the marrow now. And it just does affect everything that the council is doing and trying to do, because we have so little resource, and that affects the staffing as well, and that affects when big issues come up, like hesitate to mention it, but the new bins coming out, and when there are questions about that, it's all hands to the pump to deal with that. And it's just that keeping the day-to-day operation going is getting difficult. So it affects actually being creative and trying to do more, the sort of things that as a councillor you come into this sure. job to want to do. The capacity to do that now is so limited. It makes it very difficult to be a councillor, I think.
I think it's just some people need to know how you guys are feeling and how much under the cosh you are, not just people that they voted in councillors, but the people at the council as well that are working in an environment now that is it's strained. It's there's people doing three jobs in a day and so on and so forth. So people need to understand fully. But what where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Is there a situation in your mind where you think, right, okay, we need to find out and we need to move this forward by such and such a day, otherwise the worst thing is going to happen?
It won't be ever completely resolved.
It's got to be resolved, and Fight for the White has said 6 months to save the island, and we are essentially at the crunch point, I suppose, will be September, where we have the spending review from the government at that point, and that is the opportunity for us to find out, or for the government to sort things out and tell us we're going to be okay, or we are looking at the abyss, because as things stand at the moment, we set our budget in February. We can't set a budget that adds up at the moment. We're desperately scraping away every possible corner to try and find ways to make it work. And if we don't do that work, the government's just going to say, well, you're not taking it seriously. they probably would take that approach. So we've got really the summer to pull everything together, make our case to government. We've got that ministerial visit coming, and hopefully...
Do we know who it is? Who is the
Secretary of State is Greg Clark. Department of Communities.
So he's the one we've got a novel. I mean, he's the one we've got to have a word with.
We've got an undertaking. He's going to visit us. We have had a letter from David Cameron, saying we recognise you've got unique costs, but as I say, it's converting that.
He'll make his way down this way.
Well, that would be nice, but it's Greg Clark, who's the man on the ground. He's going to be the one that's visiting. We're hopefully going to get visits from civil servants as well, but Fight for the Whites, for good reasons, gave that 6 month time period, because really we will know where we are, should know where we are come September, September.
If I may ask, you said otherwise of the abyss, what in reality could that mean?
That's such an interesting question. We don't know. We've been asking, what happens if a council can't make a budget add up? And no one's been able to answer that question. I think I've made a suggestion in the past, we may have to go to the courts to answer that question, because we've been asking since at least this time last year, when that first was thought of as being a possibility. Right. We've had situations in the past, quite famously in some cases, where councils refused to set a budget, could have done, but refused to, and that's a very different situation. So that's the responsibility of the councillors. But if we, being a council that is reliant on government support to make things add up, don't get that support, so we are simply in a position where, doing our utmost, doing our best, we can't create a lawful budget. No one has answered that question, because it hasn't happened.
Are they aware? They must be aware of all this. Sorry to cut across.
Well, I've told them enough.
Yeah. But are they? I mean, is it a case of, let's simplify it? We know we've got to pay a bill, but we haven't got the money to pay it now. But we know that they're going to come knocking by this date, i.e., they know that you're going to put them under pressure and say, well, we can't physically run this now. So what are you going to do about it? They must be aware of that. Do you think that
I'd like to think that they, if they know the solution, I'd like to think they'd have told us about it by now. But maybe it's just trying to work out what that solution is. But the problem has been communicated.
Does it make you really angry when you see the government are helping out all these other things, and you think, well, old country or something, but they're not here helping out someone on the in the UK? How do you feel? Can you tell me?
Without being overtly political, there was one, I can't remember the name of the MP, she's the young one from Scotland, who was in the House saying, you never hear them saying there's not a budget for the airstrike. We've run out of money for that.
Yeah.
Whereas for local authorities who support children, who support vulnerable adults, they seem to be happy to run out of money for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
really good point.
Is galling.
Yeah, really good point. Funny. Really good point. That was well made.
I wish
as
I could
well.
Remember her name and give her the credit. She's a very young one. But,
yeah, blonde lady, Scottish. Yeah. And she's very, very young as well. To
very
be
young,
apologist.
Very
breath
feisty.
Of fresh
but
air.
I saw that quote, and there's a bit more to it. But yeah, I think that says a lot.
Well, you've actually enlightened me quite a bit now.
No, well, it's not many people
so.
Say that to
well,
me.
Well, no, and bottom line, as you say. You know, there's people on the island, the young. I mean, I've got grandchildren. Everyone thinks, oh, your children are growing up. I've got grandchildren. Mm. And we, here at Vectis Radio, we help young youth of all abilities. And without sort of crying or anything, we want to carry on doing that sort of thing. But if we can't get the support, we can't carry on. And it'd be the same with the council. Mm.
So the thing is, we just need to keep fighting, getting the message out there, coming along and speaking at things like this, because hopefully there are a few other people listening who weren't sure what it was about or didn't realise it was a problem. Hopefully, they might not agree with me, but they know that, there's a problem to be talked about. And maybe a few of those people, I'd hope if you're out there, we'll think about signing the petition now and making that case a bit stronger for the minister's visit. And it's just keeping that rolling process of question, information, support, so that hopefully we'll get where we need to at the end of it.
Absolutely. So just Google "fight the white," it'll come up.
Fight for the white. Fight for the white.
I'll fight you.
That's what I said. Well, don't fight for the white. Fight for the white. Just Google "fight for the white." It will take you straight through. Sign that petition. Get it done.
Excellent.
I have
yes.
signed it. Actually.
Yeah. I mean, good.
I have signed. Good.
I assume you have as well.
Of course, I have.
Excellent. Good. Just checking.
I'm a fighter. Absolutely. I was one of those people that you know, took three Southern Vectis buses into London in 2001, demanding to be statistically separate from Hampshire.
And that I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, don't forget, you know, I'm there too, man of the peeps. We went up during the week, not on a Saturday. You know, we went up there during the week, we did. And three Southern Vectis buses, and we went up with who's the guy with the flappy ear? Always got nice aftershave on. A lovely bloke from Shanklin. Runs a little shop in Ventnor.
Oh, Harry.
Harry Rees.
Harry,
you
yes.
Have you noticed he's got a flappy ear? It's a lovely thing. When you're out in the wind, it's like, is he going to take off in a minute? But he was the one, he and I got together and said, let's organise this, and we went into London. And you know,
and Harry's still doing stuff. Harry's someone I speak to regularly, and he's still there ploughing away, particularly European funding is his interest.
How old is Harry now?
He must be well into his 70s, almost 80, I would imagine.
I think he may have even topped 80 now.
Eight, really?
I'm not sure.
Do you know what?
But he's still active. He's still on a few committees at the council, and he's still plugging away doing stuff. He's a great source of support and information.
People like Harry and others like that don't get the credit that they deserve. And, you know, he's Isle of Wight through and through, and that's what I like about yourself. You've taken up your time and the trouble, you've gone up to London, you've done that, other people have followed, and I think other people need to, the ones that haven't been involved yet, get involved, because all you need to do is just sign that petition, and it gives us all so much more strength. And they'll look at us and they'll think, right, they're a together lot, we're not going to pick on them, we're going to give them what they need.
I've got
otherwise
a PR thing for you. Sorry, I interrupted you carry on with that bit.
No, I've finished now, Rosemary.
Are you
all
sure?
Right.
Yeah. Something just went pa-ping.
She won't be here next week.
That's what we said last week. Actually, I won't be here next week. I'll be in Brighton. I think you should get try and get as many people on the island together on a nice piece of ground and do our logo, the map of the Isle of Wight, with all the A4 pieces of paper with the logo on it, sort of get them to hold it up high and show that we are fighting for the Isle of Wight.
That's a good one.
It's all right.
Let's go and have a word with Alan Marriott.
Yeah. Who's going to supply all that paper then?
Well, I think the county press have got a bit, haven't they?
Have they? All right.
They print enough of it each week.
I think it's quirky little things like that that is going to get us noticed.
Well, it shows
maybe
us
we should just kidnap the fella that's coming down and just sort of say, look, we're going to leave you on the island.
Yeah, until you give us what we want.
We'll say, look, we're going to cancel all ferries. There's no way off. You've got to stay here until you get us sorted out. We put him up somewhere. We won't kidnap him and hold him at gunpoint. No. We'll put him in a hotel
and
stuff.
Cancel his ticket. It's only got one-way ticket. Because I mean, some of us have to go, you know,
cancel the fairies. Come on, you're the leader of the council on that particular day. When he comes across, say, look, from here on in, they've got to cancel the fairies for at least 48 hours.
Working on the mainland,
you never know,
he
might be listening to this. I'm going to be a bit careful.
That'd be nice.
All right, Your Worship. Okay. Well, look, you've probably got to go now because you're feeling a bit awkward now.
Am I?
Yeah. No, no. Feeling a bit awkward.
Not particularly. I mean, I assume you're going to put your clothes back on in a minute, but...
No. It's like, I'm like
this
until 1 o'clock.
To this.
I'm 1 o'clock, yeah.
I know it's warm in the studio, but really...
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to cut. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I know you do a show, and this week, what's the show this week? Is it Prog Rock Singles?
Prog Rock Singles, yes.
Were there any that we
loads.
Could play?
Yes, that 2 hours worth on Saturday afternoon,
yeah, that's
4 till 6.
That's two songs in the prog rock world, isn't it?
No, it's all the 3 minute stuff that they put out.
Chuck a few at us, so we know what you're talking about.
Yes, Wondrous Stories.
Oh, what a great
Focus,
song.
Sylvia.
Yeah.
Fanfare for the Common Man.
Da, da, da.
That's quite a good one to have at the moment, isn't it? Fanfare for the Common Man.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Fanfare for the Common Man.
I think that could be his anthem.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing on Saturday.
So it'll be all stuff like that. So yes, it won't just be two songs for 2 hours.
Okay. Because believe it or not, you do have a private life and you do love the old music, don't you? And that's
absolutely
why you do a show
yes.
for us.
Keeps me going.
It does keep you going, doesn't it? Well, it's great to see you.
I can't wait to see you in your colourful outfit now.
Oh, well, I'll have to make an effort now, won't
yeah.
I?
You will.
I'm not walking it. I'll be at the end going, oh, there he is.
Hey, look, we'll come back in 2 ticks. Thanks, Jonathan.
Okay.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
This is Vectis Radio. Serving the Isle of Wight and beyond. www.vectisradio.com.
The White Military and Heritage Museum. Situated on the main Cowes to Newport Road, the museum will excite your senses. Adults and children of all ages can experience the surge of adrenaline on an armoured vehicle ride around the tank track. For a real treat, why not try a ride in one of the Centurion tanks? There's also a covered rifle range to test your shooting skills. Enjoy refreshments in the cafe or the mess bar. Come along to the White Military and Heritage Museum, where you will be welcomed with open arms by our volunteer team. All profits are redistributed among armed service charities. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
Real Employment Law Advice is your friendly employment law specialist, giving support, guidance and advice to employers and employees who are having problems at work. We pride ourselves in looking beyond the law to find practical, stress-free solutions that suit your needs or the needs of your business. For reliable, experienced, affordable legal advice, go to adviceforemployers.co.uk or for individuals, adviceforemployees.co.uk.
Tense. Nervous headache. Life just bringing you down. You know what you need? Church of Eon. The debut album, All Out Tomorrows. Available over the counter, no prescription needed. HMV, Amazon, iTunes, all your favourite record stores. And if you want a t-shirt or a signed copy, go to churchofeon.com. Can't you feel it?
Do you run your own business? Do you have staff? Have you considered how to protect your business if staff decide to leave? This is just one of the things you need to consider as an employer. Real Employment Law Advice can take the worry away and provide you with everything from employment contracts that are tailored to protect your business through to full HR outsourcing advice. Whatever your budget or whatever your needs, Real Employment Law can help. Go to adviceforemployers.co.uk for more information.
White Sight is a ride-based spectacle boutique. and here's how it works. You need glasses? Take your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ryde. White Sight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses. Stockists of Gucci, Dior, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Bans and many more. You'll be spoilt for choice. White Sight's an independent retailer, so you can shop locally and be assured of first-class service and great glasses. Visit them in Cross Street Ryde or check them out on www.whitesight.co.uk.
If you like soul, ska, R&B and a bit of Motown, mix it up with some jukebox classics, then Marco's Mod Anthems is where it's at. Find modernistic sounds from those hazy days of the swanky coffee bars, pubs and clubs. And if that's your scene, then join me, that's Marco, every Monday evening, 7 till 10pm, live and exclusive on Vectis Radio.
Stay social and get in touch. It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Here we are then, back with part two, and you've just held up something.
Yeah, you haven't got your glasses on, so you couldn't see that, could you? It was the dairy decision, but not for not the end of the Isle of Wight products. It's all about Three Gate Farm. Bless them. Popular food products made using Isle of Wight milk will continue at the island farms despite a decision to end its milk production. We were just talking about that. Three Gates Farm, Shalfleet, announced this week it was to cease producing milk from its pedigree dairy herd known as the Wittenbred herd due to collapse in prices. However, Louise Hart from the family-run farm said Kelbourne Classics range, which includes the cakes, the savouries, the ice cream, would continue. Now, I think that's sad.
It's incredibly
it's
sad.
Sad.
It really is. And do you know what's even sadder? Is that you're not hearing that on... you're not hearing that enough and how sad it is. And when I looked at certain websites, and you know, you've got that from the County Press website.
Yes,
okay?
I did. Yep.
You know, we've ran the news story for the last couple of days. We spoke about it yesterday, and you know, there are a couple of local sites that are pulling up the story, but to me, they're not making a big enough point.
And
nationally, it's not a big enough point either. You know, it should be on BBC News. It should be on BBC South Today. It should be a massive issue, because you know, this is not just happening here on the island. This is happening elsewhere.
No, this is the whole of the UK, isn't it?
And it's really, really incredibly sad. Once you've lost these things, you will never, ever get them back again.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're waving goodbye to those cows. And in a minute, you're going to wave goodbye to an awful lot of stuff.
Well, we've gone through such history, haven't we? With obviously with the sheep, and then with the foot and mouth. And then we had the mad cows lose. And they have got up from all that sort of stuff, and now it's all down to pricing, and that's what's killing them off.
It is, and I think when you look at the way we are now, and we kind of touched on this yesterday, but when you look at the way we are now, are we aware of this? Really, really aware? I mean, okay, we've looked at it, we've felt like, you know, the last couple of days, you think, how sad is that? But are the majority of people that live on the Isle of Wight just, they may be aware of it, but think, well, when it comes down to it, can't afford it, I've got to go into the supermarket because I'm going to get it for a hell of a lot cheaper.
I mean, milk, I think it's cheaper than ever, and I think it's bad. I mean, they're all doing offers.
Mm.
For those people, I mean, with children, you get support, etc. And we should be wanting to pay a bit more for our milk. Meat itself, well, I think if we had a bit more time, we made more time just to go to the butchers, we'll find
it's easy.
Just as good.
I can do it.
Better.
I work, my wife works, I go to the butchers.
Yeah. It's laziness, you know, isn't it, really?
It is. It is laziness, and it's a mindset as well. Do you fancy taking the call? We've got someone calling. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian, it's Jay.
Hello, Jay, how are you?
All right, yeah, how you going?
I'm all right. I just ought to point out, I don't know whether you were phoning, but Mary, or is it Mary or Mari Black, was the lady that we were trying to think of, the Scottish MP that made a really, really good point. Jonathan Bacon was talking about earlier on. So thanks to Mike Lucas for sending us the details. Nice to know you're out there, Mike. So anyway, Jay, what can we do for you?
The farming business. Could you do me a favour, please,
yeah.
Ian? And it's more of an experiment as well, to be honest. Could you Google for me and see what comes up? The Garden Isle Community Farms. See, give that a Google, mate, and see what
right.
happens.
Okay, I'm a bit slow with the old typing, but the Garden Isle.
Yeah.
Garden Isle. What was the next bit?
Community Farms.
Community.
Yeah.
Community Club.
Farms.
Right, okay. Association, okay. Club and Foundation comes up straight away. Community, sorry.
Oh, I've got...
Is there not a WordPress site there?
The Garden Isle Community Farms.
Yeah.
Is that what you want? Garden Isle City.
Have you got a website come up there?
Governors, I put the Garden Isle Community Farms. That's what you told me to, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the first thing, hang on. First one is the TripAdvisor one, Garden Isle Farms, visiting of Isle of Wight.
There's nothing coming up on Google. Is there a WordPress site come up there? Can you see a little symbol that signifies WordPress?
No.
No. All right, okay. I've got a problem with that then.
So tell us the actual website and I will go straight onto it.
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to try. I'll give you the web address. It's HTTPS.
Yep.
And then you've got the two dots.
Yep.
///
Yeah.
Garden Isle Farms, all one word.
Yep.
.wordpress.com.
.wordpress.
And hopefully that might bring something up.
What was the last bit after .press?
GardenIsleFarms.wordpress.com.
.com. Okay, let's see what happens.
Anything?
So it's taking its time because I'm actually putting in typing it all incorrectly. Don't you? I hate people that can't spell, and I'm one of them. Sorry, you've got two people who are dyslexic here.
Only one. Colorblind.
Oh, you're
we're
kind
a good
of
team. Yeah.
Doing really. I'm quite tell us about myself. This website while we're trying to find it.
Is it coming up?
Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's. I did mention it before to Ian. I think he had Mark Chiverton on at the time.
Yeah.
And I was talking about communities getting together and basically. You know, taking more control of farming, creating jobs from that, because obviously the economy is struggling. And it's just an initiative for that. I haven't released it yet as a going project. It's just an outline premise for people to have a look at. And then I'm going to probably take it forward thereafter. Mm-hmm. And all it essentially is people collaborating together as a community, acquiring land,
right.
And then creating jobs within agriculture from that. But also, not just that, also working with existing farmers and adapting their systems that can make them profitable and increase the employment viability on them as well. So that's to say, that with a bit more diversity on their farms, they could create jobs for other people, you know. So it's and this case with Three Gates Farm was a crying shame. I didn't know about it, and it's that sort of thing that I'm interested in developing or helping those kind of people who I'm interested in helping.
You're from a farming background.
Sorry, land and agricultural systems.
Right.
Designing, and more recently, the nuts and bolts of farming. Predominantly, I started out as land design with agriculture. Well, more horticulture within that, but it's expanded into large scale agriculture now. All I had to get to grips with was the actual nuts and bolts of, you know, the costings and runnings of farms, all the machinery, all the infrastructure, all that kind of stuff. You know, if you're going to relate to farmers properly, you got to know essentially their economic woes, really. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's great having that sort of thing, but what we've got, I think what we have to get out there is to the people, is to buy.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's chicken and egg. Yeah, but it is. It's chicken and egg. I mean, where do you begin? Because, people's wages aren't, haven't been rising with inflation. Everyone wants to buy cheaper food. Your supermarket is really the only alternative for you to do that. And because they buy in such huge volumes of bulk, they can buy at such depressed prices and then sell on what seems like cheap food.
Perhaps we should encourage them, because they have some supermarkets have Isle of Wight produce shelf. Mm. Perhaps we should try and encourage them to have in the chiller Isle of Wight produce as well.
You can do that. You can do that, Rose, and some do. I know the co-ops and whatnot do. They have a bit of a sort of local range, but
right.
It's nowhere near enough. And
no.
If you're on relatively low wages and you go into whatever shop and you've got a choice of, either bread from, off the shelf, mass-produced at, I don't know, 90p, whatever, and you've got locally produced bread there at £2.
Yes.
Your household economy.
I agree with you on that. I totally agree. Because, I've got four kids and I've been there. I've been where you've had to sort of... and still now, you budget closely, but I think people should think, well, okay, well, let's have one day without meat and then we can have a nice piece of meat that following day.
Sure.
It's a shame that it took a world war to make us more home produced back in the 40s.
Uh-huh.
And it's a shame we lost that, isn't it?
What's it going to take then?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully nothing like that.
Well... It's got to be, whatever it is, it's going to have to be drastic.
Oh no! It already is drastic, Ian. If you really look at the whole, the only winners out of this at the minute are the supermarket.
Too true.
Well, I think
shareholders, and it's not. I'm not blaming or attacking anyone there. It's just the model that's transpired to exist these days, predominantly off the back of what happened after the war. There was a lot of scarcity and, rations and whatnot. Having said that, people were never so healthy.
Oh, right, yeah.
But, after those lean times and scary times and all sorts of political shenanigans going on, so then after the war, you can't blame people once supermarkets start coming on the scene and food seems accessible and cheap, to go for it. Unfortunately, since then, food's just become a commodity that's sold on the stock markets, for billions. It's just not respected for what it is, food, and it's punted and shoved around as if it's just a lump of metal.
Yeah, we're in that fast food area, aren't we? And microwave, and we want everything now.
Time. I don't know. I mean, I agree, Rose, that's the culture we're sort of... adopted, but do we want that? Is that what's wanted, or is that what's... See, a little trick that's played is, we only pander to what the customers want. I don't believe that. I think there's a... If that was the case, you wouldn't have a PR or a marketing industry, and that's worth billions, and that's why they spend billions influencing kids on the telly and whatnot to eat crap.
Sorry. It all comes down to money. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it does, Ian. It does. Of course, it comes down to money, bottom line profit, and everything be damned.
Yeah.
But we're at that point now that it's a mess. It's a mess, and it has to be recognised and addressed, because it's not just the price of things; it's the effect of things as well. Because a large majority of the food, especially processed food that we're eating, is making people ill. There's real consequences of it, and that's having a huge detrimental effect on the NHS. Obesity numbers, heart disease, all sorts of things now are connected to processed foods, and it's being proven all the time.
Well, that's making some of them so cheap. I mean, you can go into a fast food burger place and get it for 99p, so they're going to have one now and one have later.
Exactly, but there's a consequence for that.
Absolutely.
Role.
Yeah,
that's the retail end you see it at. But at the beginning end of that, in order to create that, you've got massive economies of scale, people on cheap labour, horrible nasty chemicals used,
yep.
obliterating the land, because it's just the lowest denominator, as cheap as you can possibly make it, as quick as you can possibly make it. And, you know, and that has real world consequences as well, because, you know, you've got all these chemicals running into our water systems and aquifers and all sorts of stuff. And I know it's not the stuff we think about day to day, but we should and we have to, because it's affecting us. It's affecting our health. So the initiative that I mentioned at the beginning there, that's something towards addressing, trying as much as I can to address a wide scope of it. So because there's different methods we can use for farming now as well, a far more compatible with the natural systems. You don't have to use chemicals. You don't even have to plow the land, and you can still produce. But this is unknown to a lot of farmers. So we need to get it out there. We need to get practicing it, teaching the youngsters for the next generation of farming and the next techniques of farming, which are coming. There's no way that they won't come through. They have to come through because the land's all but given up. So there's, there's relevant skills to be taught. So jobs, back in feeding into what you were talking about with Jonathan, with the island being an isolated economy, which it is. But the one thing the island has got above and beyond so much of the rest of the UK is a hell of a lot of sunlight, you know.
And green land.
Absolutely, it has, yeah.
But that
sunlight just needs captured in a proper form and turned into really good things without destroying the land, because we can do that.
I'm going to sound like a bit like a hypocrite in a way, but I do go to the supermarket and pick up things. But I'd love to do more.
The truth
stuff
is,
that's
exactly,
from the shops.
Rose, and all this is about giving ourselves the chance to do that. You can't expect I can't expect the large scale farmers that are already farming to change their ways for me. They're already locked into contracts and whatnot, you know, doing what they're doing for the big supermarkets. So with the best will in the world, they're hard pushed, they can't do it. So we're going to have to do it ourselves.
But it's not just retail. I was quite shocked. I know there's produce that we don't grow that we have to import. Fabulous. But I was quite shocked that the last year when I was listening to the news, and we had the blockade over in France, and there was a chap there waiting to come over with a lorry full of frozen chips. Mm-hmm. Now, haven't we got enough potatoes over here to make our own flipping chips?
You have,
that's
yes,
such
but
a stupid thing.
Again, Rose, this is what I was talking about earlier. It's because these things are traded and exchanged on computer screens in the stock exchange. So we export something like, I can't remember exact figures, but I'm on the right lines here. We export something like, what commodity can I pick? Toilet rolls, for the sake of it. We export something like 12,000 tons of that to Europe. Europe will import something like 11,000 tons of that to Britain.
Yeah.
It's just this mad system of crisscrossing the planet now, of all basically the same stuff, just so the middleman can make a fortune.
Well, simplified, they made the point last year, and what's really sad is that not enough islanders have done anything about it by, you know, purchasing the right milk. And you know, they made the point of the milk made here disappears to the mainland, and then it will pass each other in a ferry, you know, going to the island, and that milk's going. And you think, how ridiculous is that? We're shooting ourselves in the foot in so many different ways.
Well, it's
not just milk; it's everything, you know. But so everyone has their part to play, and it's almost it's a system that's. I mean, Rose, you said that, you know, you feel like a bit of a hypocrite. Don't. You know, you didn't create this system. We were all born into it, and it's just layers and layers of, time we've built up to this, and we've ended up in this mess. But we can't expect many other people other than ourselves to do something about it, because everyone's locked up in that situation at the minute. So you need to create the niche for it. So, you know, we need to employ ourselves by actually generating this food. We then need to buy that food. Of course, if we can employ ourselves by creating it, you're creating more jobs that are enabling people to actually afford to buy the food. And the truth is, if we all wanted to switch tomorrow and buy really good food from local farmers, and you don't have Three Gates Farms and other farms like it up and down the country going out of business, we couldn't keep up. Mm. The demand couldn't keep up with the supply. So we need to sort of transition and progress into this, and I think it needs to come from, I'd love to see more government initiative towards it, but as it stands at the minute, we're going to have to do it ourselves. And that means acquiring land and or working with existing farmers to help them along. But there's a lovely initiative as well along with that. Have you guys, I know you're big into sort of care and mental health with people, Ian. Have you heard of care farming?
No, I haven't, no. That's I'm intrigued,
excellent,
though.
Excellent initiative. Look into that, care farming. And
he's
I've
included tapping away
that
now.
Within. Sorry?
He's tapping away now.
Yeah, care farming. Brilliant.
And he's easier to find than your website.
I know. Ian, I'm as much use as a chocolate teapot with
please. Please send me the link, and this is what we need to be doing. We need to be joining up the dots.
Yeah. Care farming, right? That's an initiative that's been going on for a while. I think there's something like over 200 in the UK now. And what it is farms that open up their doors to people with mental health issues, which is all of us probably. You know, people with post-traumatic stress disorder, things like that. And they're having fantastic results because people are outdoors, they're communicating with other people, they're involved, their esteem's lifted, they're learning new skills, eating good food, all good stuff, you know. Brilliant initiative. So I've included that along with it as part of it, and other things as well. You know, there's no reason why we couldn't address some housing as well, using self-builds and things like that. But as I say, land needs acquired, so it's something I'll be trying to push. Well, as I say, it's a premise, and I'm gonna bounce it around people like yourself and others who can get it out, and just, you know, a bit of feedback. What do people think? I know it's going to face a bit of recoil in the beginning because there's a lot of effort involved, there's money to raise, there's things to do, and that, as I say, requires effort.
See, that's the problem. It's not for me. You know, I look at it and think, you know what, I love a challenge, I love change, and I love making things better. But the trouble is, people are in a rut, they're in a routine. It's to them, okay, they're surviving, it may be cheaper to do this way, and you that's where you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble convincing. But we've run out of time.
Yeah.
I've
just sent you a link in your message box.
We are going to, I'll look at that later, thanks for that. One day we're going to get you into the studio and you are going to come in and do this for a whole hour.
I will do. I'm getting a couple of things off the ground here. I'm trying to solidify this. There's a lot in the background to it. I can't just do it and then people ask me abstract questions
sure.
and I haven't got the answers.
Pick a date and get back to us. You've got to come in and do this. We've run out of time. Thanks for being there, Jay.
Yeah, have a look at that link, mate.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Cheers.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
He's a good guy, and he needs to get in, and we need to do this for a whole hour, take some pictures, put some stuff on the website and start the ball rolling. We really do.
I like to get behind it.
We've got 10 seconds. Thank you for being there, Lady Rose.
Thank you very much.